It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
A little bit next hour, watch the Cubs beat the Padres. So the Padres are no longer undefeated, and now neither are the Dodgers. The Dodgers losing to the Phillies tonight as well. So no more undefeated teams in baseball. It was a nice run, but the 162 dream is over, 162-0 dream. So whoever was on the 144-0 team that went undefeated can pop those champagne bottles. Braves won, too. Braves won, 10-0 over the Marlins. So I believe we are done with the undefeateds, and we are done with the winless clubs. So everybody's got some sort of scratch in each column. And again, we'll talk about baseball. And I do want to talk about baseball in the sense of, like, you go to these baseball games, and they are the most important thing in the world to the people that are there. But then it's like, it doesn't carry over. If you go to a baseball game and you see how much people care and how people are into it and the post-game action and the pre-game festivities, you would think, like, this is their life. This is what they consume. But it is, you know, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. But it's an interesting sort of juxtaposition. And one thing I've always talked about with baseball is people call it a regional sport now. They'll say the answer to what I was just talking about was, well, because baseball's a regional sport. And I don't think it is. It is a national sport. It is a national sport as much as the NBA or NFL is. The exception and the difference is we watch our team 7 nights a week that we really don't have time to watch everybody else. With football, you watch your game, and then there's like 3 other nights of football, and of course the fantasy and the gambling and just the whole aspect of it, the one game a week nature. There's a lot of differences to it. You go around the country, people love baseball. It's a national sport. Like a regional sport is like lacrosse is a regional sport, mainly played in the East Coast. Okay? Curling. You know, after the Olympics, there were a bunch of curling clubs that popped up, but in like Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas. So, you know, those are regional sports. Baseball is a national sport. It's just the MLB a little different. So I do want to get in to that a little bit later tonight. No matter what we're talking about, if there's something that you want to get in on or join us, we've got a phone number, as you know, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I have a problem. So here, I will tell you what my problem is. There are a few different things that I could have on my screen. And what I'm probably going to have to do is fire up another screen or two. I got another laptop I can use, but I typically sit in a room where it's very easy, and I usually always have something on one monitor. I don't have a TV in this room, so I'm on computers. If I want something else, but I use this computer that I could also make another video monitor. I do have my laptop here. I got to work. I could have up to 4 screens at one time. It would just, you know, it would take a little bit of work. So typically, I just turn on the one monitor and watch the game of the night. This is how we watch a lot of the NFL games together. This is how we watch a lot of the playoff games together, hockey, basketball, baseball, whatever. This is how we watch some of the college games together. The championship on Monday, I just fire it up, watch it, and we're all watching it together. Tonight, there's something that I should be watching, I feel like, for the sake of the show. I feel like sometimes if I was at home, would I be watching this? I would be checking in on it. I don't know that I would be watching it and giving it my full attention, if I can be honest with you, and that is the women's Final Four, which I am curious in and interested in, but with other options, it is not first for me. I think that's okay. I'm not sure, but I think it is. I feel like I'm saying something wrong, but I'm not. And once you find out what is one, it's just a specific me problem. But I'm not watching that. Right now, UConn is beating UCLA 23-13. Earlier tonight, South Carolina beat Texas 74-57. So South Carolina is going to be back in the championship game. They won the championship last year, beating Iowa. Undefeated season. That was Caitlin Clark's team. They went 38-0. They're looking to repeat as champions here this year and win their fourth title. They won in 2017 and 2022. Texas out. They have not won a title since 1986. Great year for them, but they are no longer in the tournament, losing in the Final Four. This game between UConn. UConn's been a dominant program. In fact, if you were to name the best program off the top of your head, you'd probably say UConn when it comes to women's basketball. Their last championship, though, was 2016. So they've got the most NCAA women's titles, but they haven't won since 2016. UCLA has won the AIAW, the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, before the NCAA began to sponsor women's basketball in 1982. So this was actually their first Final Four under the NCAA, and they have never won a championship. And they are trying to right that wrong, but UConn, right now, with 8 minutes to go in the second, is up 27-13. So I feel like that's what I should be watching. What I would most likely watch, or what I feel like I should be watching, not for work, but for me as a fan, is the Milwaukee Brewers. As I am in Milwaukee, regional sports network, easily accessible, I should be watching them. They're up 3-0 against the Reds, eighth inning. I should be kind of locked in here. What I am watching, and anybody that listens enough may have garnered a guess, I'm watching the UFL. I'm watching the UFL. And in fact, I just saw a touchdown. Birmingham just scored to go up 18-0. Deion Kane scoring a touchdown. I get into the UFL. I like it. I don't just like it to like throw a $20 lineup on it. I like it because I like it. I like football. You like the UFL? That's stupid. But I like football. A lot of people were into the Colorado Pro Day today because Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, and I get that college football is a big deal, and so is the NFL, but that is practice. I'm watching a football game in prime time on a Friday night to start my weekend. I like football. And I like this football because I really don't think this football is that bad. And what's interesting with this football is none of these, like very few of these UFL guys went to go play in the NFL. And a bunch of them are back. So I don't know what they're doing from July to December. But a lot of these teams, their rosters are pretty similar to what they were a year ago. Now, tomorrow night is the Final Four. okay? The Final Four for the men's. And I'm bypassing watching the women's while following it. The same sort of procedure may happen for me tomorrow. I know I should be watching the Final Four. I'll probably want to watch the Brewers, but I'll probably more want to watch a UFL game, which will be played tomorrow between the DC Defenders and I forget the other team that's in action. How dare me? The Memphis Showboats. That's right. Of course. So it is the UFL. I like the UFL. It's on Friday nights now. Last Friday, I was not in, so I didn't have to. I mean, I'm into it. I'm into it as much as I'm into a Thursday night or Monday night football game. And I'm not ashamed of that. I like football. I like it a lot. Tomorrow, though, I think it would be the appropriate thing to do. Not just so that I can talk about things on Monday. Although I probably, thinking about it, could get away with it because there's a game on Monday night and it starts before the show and it starts earlier this year, which people are excited about. So it'll kind of be wrapping up. Probably when we get on the air Monday, we'll have about 10 minutes left in the game, I would assume. And we could break that down and talk about the game. So I could probably get away. Now, if there was a UFL game on Monday, then we'd be in for some trouble. But I don't think that's going to be an issue. Now, I'm very curious to see, as much as we are with the Final Four, who wins, who loses. I'm curious to see if these games produce the kind of action that we feel like we have been missing out on, that we feel like we haven't gotten yet up to this point. Because I think the first round, there were very limited upsets. And not only were there limited upsets, but there were limited, like, close games and really exciting maybe upsets. There was some limitations there. We didn't get a lot because I don't know if it's the era or not that's going to be something that remains to be seen with transfers and NIL money, and is the gap between mid-majors and the major conferences, is it really getting expanded, or is this year just an anomaly? 2008, we had four number one seeds make the Final Four. So it's happened, and college basketball looked a lot different than it did 17 years ago. It looks different now than it did two decades ago. So I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but we didn't get the upsets. And so at least we thought, all right, well, when we get 2 versus 3 and 1 versus 4 and that kind of stuff, we'll be in for better matchups. But even still, there were games that, and there were good games in this tournament, but there were also a lot of games that were decided by 15, 20 points between some of the big heavy hitter teams. Well, now you can't escape it anymore. You've got the top four teams in college basketball, all number one seeds. And the interesting stat that we were talking about earlier this week was the KenPom ratings have been in existence since the 96-97 season. And without breaking down the formula or going to ChatGPT and making my own, without doing anything like that, I will tell you that with the KenPom rankings, this ranking of college basketball teams since 1996-1997, in the last 30 years it's been around, the four teams in the Final Four this year are all in the top 10 of the last 30 years. So I'm not saying like these four teams are in the top 10 this year. What I'm saying is if you take every team from every season since 96-97 and then you will put them all together. So all 28-29 iterations of Duke, all 28-29 iterations of Auburn and UConn and Michigan and Florida and whoever else you want to throw in there. Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston, these versions, this year's versions, are in the top 10. So I am hoping that we see some good basketball. And I know that I rally against the fan a lot, the specific fan or the wishful thinking of the certain fan who always wants every game to be the best game ever, right? I always talk about that. They want the college football playoff to have not the teams that are the most deserving, but who they think would provide them a better game. Well, why should they be in? Because Alabama would play them tougher. And when I am watching the game hungover on my couch, shoving pizza in my face, eventually taking a nap for the third quarter, I want to wake up and see a good game. We really want that instant gratification. We want every Super Bowl to be the best game ever. We want everything. We don't accept anymore that sometimes we watch games that just aren't that good competitively. We don't like that. Like right now, this Birmingham, Michigan game, it's 18-0. I'm furious. I wanted a classic. I want a classic UFL barn burner. I don't know that I'm going to get it. Although I will remind you, in the UFL, 18-0 is a two-score game. Because after the touchdown, you can go for a one or a two or a three-point conversion. Okay? No kicks. I'd like that. A lot of times you watch an NFL game, it's 18-0 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You think, well, that's my Sunday. Nah, nah, nah. Nah, nah, nah. And even though Michigan scored 0 points, they got the ball and they're still in it, folks. Why would I watch anything else? Why would I watch anything else? So should be some good matchups coming up in college basketball. We'll dive a little bit more into those, get an update on the women's Final Four once again. And I think it's very interesting with these four teams who the nation is finding themselves rooting for. Four teams, four very good teams, four very compelling teams. I would think even if there's brand names that aren't very likable, they're somehow likable teams, but there's one clear favorite for America who we're rooting for. And it may be the team that you, if you're thinking, oh, it's, you're probably right because it's an overwhelming favorite for what we're looking at. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back with more. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Every Friday, we bring you the NASCAR race preview brought to you by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. If you were maybe once into NASCAR and not so much anymore, this is a fun weekend for you. It's throwback weekend in Darlington. So you see a bunch of different retro paint schemes. They take different things you might recognize, like Dale Earnhardt's Black 3 car. They may kind of emulate that. The Richard Petty STP look from the 70s. They may emulate that as well. Or even if a driver's been in for a long time, maybe throw back to the look they used to have. So big weekend in Darlington. The egg-shaped oval track, it's a challenging track. That's where they're going to have the Goodyear 400, race number 8 of the season. It is a real abrasive surface. There's tight corners. You're looking at guys like a Denny Hamlin or a Kyle Larson or maybe a William Byron who may have some good performances this weekend based on how they've handled that track so far. So the Goodyear 400 coming up at Darlington Raceway, all part of Throwback Weekend that is coming up this weekend in the world of NASCAR. And that preview brought to you by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. Once again, they're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. So a busy weekend on the racetrack. Obviously, a busy weekend in San Antonio, where the men's Final Four will be held. Right now, we do have women's Final Four in action. South Carolina did advance. They won earlier tonight, 74-57. And in the other game going on, you've got UCLA and UConn. And with a minute and a half to go in the second, UConn up 39-22. So this is a big matchup. UConn and Paige Beckers and everything that they've been able to accomplish. The presumptive number one pick in the WNBA next season. 6 points just for Paige so far tonight, but UConn not really needing much from her as they're getting contributions elsewhere to lead 39-22. We'll keep an eye on that one throughout the evening. The men's Final Four coming up this weekend. As I mentioned, big time games. All number one seeds. First time this has happened since 2008. So the first couple of rounds, which were very highly rated, we watched them, did not have the upsets. And a lot of people complain. They say, oh, we wish we had upsets. But then you get a 12-13 matchup the next weekend, and then you're like, oh, no, we want the big-time matchups. We want the heavy hitters. Well, we got a lot of good matchups. We got some heavy-hitting kind of matchups, like you're getting your Tennessee, Kentucky, and all that kind of stuff. But this year, it may seem like not only is the gap wide between the top dogs and some of the mid-majors, but also between the top dogs and then the other players and teams in major conferences that aren't the elite. So we're going to find out. We're getting the elite of the elite. Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Florida in game number one, which will start just after 6 o'clock Eastern, CBS with the coverage, just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. This is a game where Florida is a 2.5-point favorite. They've got Walter Clayton Jr., who has had such a nice tournament and is one of these guys that his profile is being raised. He's a contender, certainly, for player of the tournament, which right now I believe Cooper Flagg has the best odds to win. But then you also look at these guys like Walter Clayton Jr., for as good as he's doing on some of these draft big boards, he could be a mid-second round guy. So it's always interesting when you see these guys like Zach Edey last year dominating in the pro game or in the college game and then, you know, not being a number one overall pick, going a little earlier than maybe we thought. But it's sometimes there's just a difference between the two styles of play. So you watch a guy just dominate all throughout the tournament, and then you look at a mock draft and he's not even in there on the first round. But he is performing very well in this tournament. Florida bringing elite offense. Perhaps they rebound better than anybody else in the country. Auburn, they can protect the rim, and they don't foul a lot. So there could be some big matchups at the glass in this one, and we'll see how that one goes. I told you how I picked this tournament earlier in the season, but what were my picks? What are the picks I gave you? Because I thought this would be a very chalky tournament. And then I took three number one seeds and then Clemson. So I don't know what my problem is. It's going to be chalk. It's going to be chalk. And I specifically said many times, you know, this is very likely. This could be the first Final Four with all number one seeds since 2008. Oh, that number five seeded Clemson looks pretty good. I think I'll snack on that real quick. That one looks tasty. I think it's going to be Florida and Duke. Those are the two teams that I picked, so I would take Florida in the first game. But again, I know as much as like the tree in your front yard when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I just thought chalky, and those were the two chalky of the chalk for me. Although the other teams, Auburn coming in very highly rated, number one in the tournament. Houston is a 5.5-point underdog against Duke. Duke, when I was mentioning those teams, and the fun fact is with the KenPom ratings, a rating that is basically gospel, because there's a lot of different ratings, net ratings and RPI and all that stuff. But the KenPom is what a lot of these guys like. That's the rating system that they really like. And Duke is the highest of the four. However, all four teams are in the complete top 10 of every college basketball team since the ratings were first enacted back in 1996 and 1997, back in that season. So the four teams that you have now are not just four of the best 10 teams in the 2024-25 season. Based on this ranking, they are four of the best 10 teams that have played college basketball in the last 30 years. And Duke is at the top of those four. Very good defense. Best offense in the country. Houston's got the second best defense in the country, however, giving up just 92 points over 100 possessions. So we'll see what happens here. LJ Cryer's been hot. Cooper Flagg, the ultimate X factor, presumptive number one pick on the men's side. And those are the games that we're going to see coming up on Saturday night. And then again, as mentioned, the game on Monday, the national championship game, is going to start a little earlier. I believe that's scheduled for like 7:30 Eastern. So it's scheduled a little earlier. Now, if that's not enough college basketball for you, I do want to remind you that the college basketball crown is happening. And so if it gets to be Saturday at some point on Saturday, and you're like, I can't wait for more basketball, I need it, and I need it now, you can watch a couple of games in the College Basketball Crown Tournament. Boise State and Nebraska, 12:30 Eastern. UCF and Villanova at 3 o'clock Eastern. And the champions, or the winners of those games, will play in the championship on Sunday. Those games are going to be played on Fox. So Fox is having a real kind of funny sports weekend, which just shows the value of, just to break down the TV aspect of how all this stuff works. And it's important because, you know, Fox and ESPN basically turned the Big Ten and the SEC into what they are. And Fox coming on the scene in 1994 completely changed how the NFL is paid for and packaged. But Fox this weekend, it's got sports. It's airing sports. But I don't know that these are the most prestigious or most watched leagues that we have. Today, on a Friday afternoon, you don't really see local affiliates give up time on a Friday afternoon. Fox aired Live Golf in Miami. And then tonight, as I talked about, they are now airing the United Football League, which Michigan did score, and it's 18-9. And, you know, it's a one-score game, so I'm pretty into it. Tomorrow, the Fox Network has the College Basketball Crown. And then at night, some Major League Soccer, which I'm sure you'll all be enthralled with. And then on Sunday, a little more Live Golf and the College Basketball Crown finale. So a banner of a weekend for the Fox Sports brand. All right, when it comes to that Final Four, who are we rooting for? The answer is a blowout. Based on social media data. So what some of these like sites have been able to do now is they basically just run it through the wash and figure out where are people rooting for these teams the most, from what state and what team is the favorite. So, I mean, North Carolina is rooting for Duke. Florida is rooting for Florida. Alabama is rooting for Auburn. The state of, and the state of Texas is rooting for Houston. Those are no-brainers because that's where the fan bases are. Just one other state is rooting for Duke, and that is Maine, and that would be with Cooper Flagg. That's where he's from, so that definitely makes sense. Florida has picked up Hawaii, and they have two states as well. Auburn scratched a few other ones. Auburn is getting love from not just Alabama, but Washington, Wisconsin, and Ohio.
This sounds like an election.
I know. Well, it looks like an election because the map is all red for Houston. Land doesn't vote. Remember that. But it is Houston. Ray, you got a favorite? You got a team you like? You got anybody you're rooting for? Or a bracket? Or where are you?
I'm cheering for whoever's playing against Duke. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of there, too.
Go Houston.
I think what's interesting about this, too, is like the coaches in it. And I think the Kelvin Sampson thing, where he's been a coach for 32 years, and he's been at Houston for about 10. And there was a span from like 95 to maybe the first time that Kelvin Sampson got back to the tournament, one appearance in the NCAA tournament, some NITs, some CBI, some of that stuff. But since then, Houston's really become, I don't know about a powerhouse, but certainly a perennial, hey, Houston's in the Elite Eight, or Houston's in at least a Sweet 16, or, you know, Houston advanced. And so this is a big moment for them. Well, obviously, the Jim Nance factor, people see that, but this is a big moment for Houston.
Well, for sure, but when you're fielding potentially a G League roster considering the age of some of these guys, I mean, you better make the Final Four.
Well, that's also a very good point. That's a very good point. But I think that, so right now, the nation likes that G League team, so that's where we're at.
Fair enough. Go Houston.
So you're going to be rooting for Houston then?
Yes.
At least in game one. I've always had a soft spot for Florida. I don't know why.
I think they're the best overall team in this tournament. And I think they're built for the tournament. They can score. They can defend. They rebound. I look at them. Although Duke has the Cooper flag and the name recognition, I think the best team of the four right now are the Florida Gators.
Well, we'll find out. I agree with you, and we're going to find out this weekend. Again, the game Saturday night, the championship on Monday. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. That's Ray Jarvis. More from him on the Bulletin Blitz. Right now, we've got an update. It's Pete McCarthy.
The biggest moments in the games.
Pagese, right wing for the win! Yes!
The biggest voices in sports.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
The heartbreak.
And he misses it. That's impossible.
The celebrations.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is the Bulletin Blitz. We do it every night at this exact time. Sometimes we'll move segments. Remember, the Bartometer is moving to Tuesdays. We do it on Thursdays. It's moving to Tuesdays starting September 2nd. But the Bulletin Blitz, that don't go anywhere. And with the Blitz tonight, it is Ray Jarvis. Ray, how are you, sir?
I can't complain. I'm prepared to do my best Carlos Ortiz impersonation. I hope I don't let the people down.
Well, you won't. I promise you that.
All right, so we got the first one up. Biggest news of the sports tonight, depending on who you ask. Alexander Ovechkin has tied Wayne Gretzky with his 894th goal, tying the great one. Big news has been a chase for like the last couple of months. It's been the top story in hockey. Let's get to that sound.
Second unit here, Ovechkin, he scores! Alex Ovechkin has 894! And the bench empties here at Capital One Arena! Ovechkin has reached the seventh. He needs one more to go one step beyond. He has tied Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time in NHL history.
Gretzky in attendance, as you mentioned, and I would assume he's going to continue to be in attendance. The next game for Ovechkin is on Sunday when the Capitals visit the New York Islanders. I hope that, and Gretzky seems like he's, you know, his records aren't going to last forever, and I hope he's cool with it. I hope we don't get a situation where, like, you know, I just got Mark Gastineau in my head seeing him be there for Michael Strahan. And
that
then,
sack record, huh?
Yeah, and then boom rushing Favre Did you see that he's suing ESPN for that? I mean, my goodness. Look, Mark, if you need money, start a GoFundMe. Plenty of Jets fans probably still like you because you're not winning that case.
Wow.
What's interesting, though, is like somebody got it. Somebody tied it. He's going to break it. The scoring record, Alex Ovechkin. And while he is dominant, and certainly in hockey he is, you know, the greatest player going, or has been for a good handful of years, at least for me, like, Wayne Gretzky was at another level, like, pop culture-wise, maybe, or just in the zeitgeist. I don't know that I've ever gotten that with Ovechkin. I don't know that he's ever reached that in terms of, like, you know, I'm a 10-year-old kid, and I know nothing about hockey, but you pick up a hockey stick, and I'm like, hey, Wayne Gretzky. I don't know that that's the same with Ovechkin right now. And nothing wrong with it. I'm just merely commenting.
Bart, you're being very nice right now. Listen, he got this. He's going to break the record. And even still, he won't be considered the great anything because you still have Sidney Crosby right there. And to your point about the zeitgeist, Wayne Gretzky, generational icon. Alexander Ovechkin can go to a McDonald's in a bunch of cities in America right now, and no one would know he just tied one of the greatest athletes in American history. So, great record. We appreciate him doing something that we thought probably would never get done. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
He could come in here. I'm in a building where, not that I want to be a sitting duck, but a lot of times nobody else is in here. But he could come in here, and I'd call the ops manager of this building, and I'd say, do we hire a new night cleaning guy? Because I haven't seen this guy before.
Yeah. Man, Bart. Moving on.
Cold.
Draft season is upon us. Shedeur Sanders has been the hot button player of this draft. There's been nothing but narratives attached to this kid's name. His father is a distraction. He's too arrogant. He's too cocky. But Shedeur Sanders believes that whatever organization drafts him, they're getting a stud and they're getting a guy who will help transform their organization. So let's hear some more from Shedeur.
I'm just thankful for the opportunity, and whoever drafts me, whatever pick, I truly don't matter to me because I know in myself who I am and I know what I bring to the table. So whoever sees the value in that, you know, would be very lucky to give me.
You know what's interesting with Shedeur, at least from what they're saying publicly, is I hear that and I believe it from him. And I hear Deion talk and I believe, like, he's ready to see Shedeur go and blossom. And now he's signed an extension, so it doesn't seem like the Shedeur-Deion dream pairing is going to happen. It feels like a lot of the stuff regarding, and I'm guilty of it too, in talking about, I don't know, do I want to draft Shedeur? Because then Deion, you know, he's a coach, he's going to be asked about every week. But it seems like a lot of the things that people might be critical or skeptical about with Shedeur and Deion, they're not really giving you that. We're kind of, and we may be saying it from other stuff and the ways they acted at Colorado, but in this draft process, I think they've only been saying the right things, and they've been saying it enough that I believe Shedeur doesn't, like, he just wants to go play, and whoever drafts him, he's going to play hard for them.
I think at this point, Shedeur Sanders just needs to stop talking. And I'm not even one of these old guys, like dude on the field, but I think he constantly fights uphill when it comes to the media. And instead of trying to say the right things, because they'll find a way to twist it, regardless of what he says, he might say, he was smiling too much when he said it. Just go out there, let the football do the talking, earn your respect on the field, and then come back to the media. You have to beat the narratives with your play. So I think he needs to do that.
Ray, how do you think he would be, like, if he gets drafted to the Browns? He's probably going to be the starter week one. If he gets drafted to the Giants, then you're probably still going with Russ for a little bit. How do you think he would handle that?
I think he would handle it well. His dad is a pro. He's lucky enough to have a dad who's one of the greatest players of all time. He's probably been around NFL locker rooms his entire life. His father's taught him about the business of football as well. So if he has to wait behind Russ for, let's say, 8 to 10 games, I think he'll be prepared and be willing and able to do so.
I like that answer, Ray.
All right. Let's get to LeBron. I didn't like the answer he gave. LeBron James coming off an embarrassing loss to the Golden State Warriors on national TV. Luka Doncic left his game in the hotel room. But alas, LeBron was asked about Steph Curry and the new Warriors with Jimmy Butler. And he basically made a comment as though, you know, Steph constantly has help. He's had Kevin Durant. He's had now Jimmy Butler and a few other players in between that. But a lot of people feel like, who is LeBron to talk about help when he is the king of having an abundance of help around him since he left Cleveland the first time? Let's hear from LeBron James.
I've been a part of them making big acquisitions to change their dynamic of their team before. And I had to go against them when they added Kevin Durant. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler is... It's great, and you know, he adds a toughness to him. He adds a championship DNA type of guy. But it's always the same. They always figure it out. They always add somebody that makes it dynamic.
Rather than trying to be nuanced on this, let me just say it in the most simplistic term. I really like LeBron James. I really appreciate LeBron James. There's so many things that he says that I question why I do like LeBron James. Look, the Kevin Durant thing, LeBron and Kyrie were so good. And this will be the last one. But they were so good that the Warriors, if they ran it back the next year, I think the Cavs would have won again. Sure, Kevin Durant went on and joined a team. But I think the Warriors needed Kevin Durant to beat you, LeBron.
Hello.
Okay. And also, you got on a stage with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and said not one, not two, not three, not four. You created an era of super teams that then beat you later. Jimmy Butler's a nice addition, and he's been doing very well for them. And the Warriors have kind of like refound a little bit of mojo. But unless they win a championship now with him, I don't think Jimmy Butler and the Kevin Durant acquisitions at the time are close. I don't think so.
It's not. LeBron James changed the game for better or worse when it came to the decision, and people just need to accept that fact.
He's just always like, I like him. I just like to watch him play basketball.
That's cool.
I even like opinions. I just don't like him talking about basketball, I think. Just the basketball. All right. More coming up. The Bart Winkler Show.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.